This is the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. I do two podcasts, this one on the Middle East and another on mainstream American politics. Thank you for listening to this podcast where we talk about issues in the Middle East, Palestine, Israel, and American policies. You can get more information on all of my podcasts by visiting www.hanania.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
It's Friday, March 13th. It's not a bad day. Everybody makes a big deal about it, but what are you going to do? I'm Ray Hanania, special U.S. correspondent for the Arab News newspaper, and you're listening to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast, broadcast from Detroit, Michigan, through 690 AM WNZK Radio, and I think there are four other radio stations now picking us up. And you can listen to this radio station live 24/7. Thanks to all the work that Layla Al Husseini does, the U.S. Arab Radio Network host, mega radio star. It's really her radio station, I think, is one of the biggest in the country. And we have so much further to go with Arab radio in this country, but everything is a struggle in our community. It's so hard to get up on our feet, but we just keep plugging away, thanks to people like Layla Al Husseini and my guest, who I'm going to introduce in a moment. Layla and U.S. Arab Radio and the Arab Street Radio and Podcast are, you know, their goal is to energize and empower Arab Americans to stand up for their rights. And for more information on what I do, you can go to hanania.com. And afterwards, after the radio show is broadcast, we will podcast it on iTunes, Spotify, all of the major podcasting services. We have about 3,200 listeners and subscribers, and it's growing little by little. We get like about three or four a day. It just slowly adds up. It's very difficult in this world, in the United States, if you're Arab American. The media kind of locks us out, so we have to do our own media. And I'm very fortunate this morning to have somebody who understands that principle, somebody who is in the media, somebody who understands communications and the power of communications, and is very active with a website called ArabAmerica.com. My guest, Warren David, he's a third-generation Arab American of Lebanese and Syrian heritage. I remember when I was a kid, they all surrounded me, and the kids asked me, "What are you?" And I said, "I'm an American," and they didn't believe me. So I went home and I asked my dad. I said, "Dad, what am I?" He says, "Don't tell him you're Palestinian. Tell him you're Syrian or Lebanese." So I went back to school and they surrounded me and said, "What are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm Syrian, but I think my mother's a lesbian." I don't know. I could remember. I don't know if Warren had the same experience as a Lebanese or Syrian American. Warren, welcome to the show this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Ray. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, it's always fun to have you on, and please give our regards to Amal, two of the most active Arab Americans in the country. And you don't measure it just by what they're doing at the moment. You measure it by the consistency. You've been doing this how long, working for Arab Americans, Warren?
Well, since the 80s. So I would say well over 35 years.
I started just a few years before that in the 70s. When I got into journalism. Why'd you get into communications? What was that your first interest, or were you going to be a doctor like everybody else in our community?
Yeah, right. You know, it's like when I was in middle school and high school, I always had an interest in the media and was very interested in communications, television. Had an artistic type of an ability. I used to like to direct projects in school and got involved. They didn't really have the greatest resources. They had like a journalism club, you know, that I get involved with. That was like a journalism club was for anything, you know, for everything, not just writing. It was like you wanted to be, you know, do production or radio, TV, whatever, or print. And then you know, ended up going to school and majoring in communication.
Oh, so you did. You did major. That was your major in school, huh? That you went right to it. You're one of the few. I started out first in pre-med, then the Vietnam War interrupted college for me in the early 70s, and then I went there for 2 years, and then when I got out, I came back and I decided I was going to be in politics because I was so upset with the way the media and the politicians were presenting the Arab cause. We were presented terribly. And then I kind of shifted into the media because I realized, and I think you agree, that in this country, the media and communication, that's the power, isn't it?
It is. And back in the late 70s and 80s, there wasn't really too much of a narrative regarding the Arab or the Arab American identity. And there was a great need. And in 1980, I started after coming out of college, we met my wife, Amal, as you had mentioned earlier, and she's a Palestinian that was born in Palestine. And we actually met through college, and we ended up moving to Detroit. And so here's a guy, like, I'm a third generation, you know, Arab American. I grew up in Rhode Island, which is a very, you know, one of the smallest states in the Union. But there's quite a few early Syrian Lebanese immigrants that went to New England and Rhode Island, a small town, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, where they're. To this day, there are still many of Syrian and Lebanese heritage and other Arab ethnicities. Over the years, other Arab ethnicities have moved to that area. But originally, the old Syrian Lebanese community there. So we ended up moving to Detroit, and I felt that there was a need, and this was like in 1979, 1980, to articulate some type of alternative media or, you know, narrative to what was being told in the mainstream, and started an organization at that time. I was very young, and but it was called the Arab American Media Society. I don't know if you remember about it or not.
I do vaguely remember that, yeah. That's what we had to do, right? Because things didn't exist. You were a pioneer. You know, we had to pioneer and create our own, you know, organizations, right? Because I think I was the only, there was one other Palestinian who was in the editorial section of a major newspaper, but I was the only Palestinian reporter in the 1970s who was on a major paper actually out on the beat covering stuff. And I'll think of the other journalist named his famous daughter, who is a author, you know, who I often write about. But back then, you had to define yourself, right? If you wanted to be in the media, you had to create it.
Back then, you could count. There was so limited. There was nobody, actually. It was very, very limited as far as Arab Americans being in the media in 1979, 1980. If you juxtapose that till today, there are many young Arab Americans that are in the media, so it's a completely different picture than what it was back then. And what I was just going to say, through the Media Society, we initiated with the local public radio affiliate WDET in Detroit, came up with an idea to do a national radio series. Well, it was a series in Detroit, and it was called Arabesque: Insights into Arab Culture.
Wow.
And it was kind of like a very pioneering program at that time, and WDET embraced it because of the growing Arab American community in the Detroit metropolitan area. And then we were lucky enough to get it picked up on the National Satellite Network after a couple of years. So like in 1982, it was disseminated to over 80 national public radio affiliates on the NPR satellite network at that time.
That's amazing.
And it was historic. Yeah, it's amazing. And I, as a caveat to that, we won first place. We won a gold medal in the International Radio Festival of New York, which is like one of the top awards for radio. And we beat out Radio Taipei, the Chinese radio. We beat them out.
That's major. That's amazing, and that's major. I mean, and the talent was there. And, I mean, today we see a lot more Arab Americans getting into it. But back in the 70s, and by the way, that was Aziz Shahab was the other Palestinian journalist. Mm-hmm. At the time in the media, his daughter is Naomi Shahab Nye, the author, really good What a great guy he was. But yeah, you know what always amazed me was that, you know, as a Palestinian, I know my community kind of came here more recent, you know, mainly after the 1948 war, although there were many. I did a book about it, Arabs in Chicagoland, and they tend to aggregate in different areas. But the Lebanese and the Syrians, now a lot of Arabs were identified as Syrian, but the Lebanese especially, your community came here three generations, four generations ago, and settled in. They assimilated, never lost their identities. You know, they had that organization, the Midwest Federation of Syrian Lebanese Clubs, which was really the biggest national organization we had in the 70s that I remember, going back even before that. So I know that the Lebanese were probably had the first challenges they had to face, and you know, it probably made it easier, you know, for your generation, for you as a third generation Lebanese Syrian American. But then you're part of the Arab community, and the rest of the Arabs were lagged behind, you know, in terms of assimilation and activism, you know, in this country. But I'm never surprised when I hear great things that you do and Amal do, because I think that background really gives you a base, that communications background. The first thing about any power or influence comes from the ability to tell your story. And if you can't tell your story in an effective way, doesn't matter what our story is, right? We have to be able to tell it.
Exactly, exactly. It's so important that we do get our story out. And, you know, it's kind of, in some ways, it's you would think that there would be a great improvement since the 1980s.
Yeah, no, I know.
There is some positive at the end of it, but it's still...
Not as much as we would want, right? But we're up against the. We have a lot of resistance from this country, don't we? I mean, there are people that just either they don't like us, they still don't understand us, and they go out of their way to stop us.
Exactly, and I think that whenever you say Arab. And even if you're using the term in an educational or cultural way, it still becomes political.
Yes.
Even if you're humanizing Arabs, it becomes political.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge that we in the Arab American or media come up against. And I think that's a reason why you see so many, you know, there have been so many media projects that I've seen come and go over the last, you know, and I'm sure you can agree with me on that.
Yeah, I do. I know what you're going to say.
You see newspapers come, you see newspapers go, you see radio programs come and radio programs, and you wonder why our media, you know, we don't have a real consistency as far, or institutional media, and a lot of that is because we can't sustain our media. And the reason that we can't sustain it is because we're Arab. I mean, because when corporations and mainstream companies look to advertise or to get involved with a particular media outlet, you know, these Arab, oh gee, you know, they've got this kind of vision that Arab.
They didn't look at it as a cultural thing or as an ethnic thing. They looked at it, as you pointed out accurately, political. I remember in the 70s, as soon as I got out of the Vietnam War, I was on the GI Bill, and I used my money. The first thing I did was I used my money. I was getting, like, the GI Bill, I think it was $580 a month. I used it to publish an Arab-American newspaper in English. And for 2 years, it was shocking to me how many people were angry with the fact that I had the paper, outside, even though the stories were about positive things, the positive things. It wasn't political. Listen, anyway, Warren David is my guest. We're going to have him, I think, there's a little technical thing there. We're going to get him back, but we're going to take a break anyway right now here at the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. It's Friday, March 13th. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages. Welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. It's Friday, March 13, 2020. I'm the U.S. Special Correspondent for the Arab News newspaper, And I manage a couple websites, the ArabDailyNews.com and Mainstream Political Issues, having covered Chicago politics for over 35 years at SuburbanChicagoland.com. And one of the great things about doing this radio show is I get to talk with people like my guest, Warren David. He's the president of Arab America, which was formerly Arab Detroit, for many of you who remember that far back. It was an institution in terms of information and news. Music, culture, all kinds of great stories and digital media. He's also the former national president of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. And Warren and I are talking a little bit about the past. We're going to get into the elections a little bit and also Arab American Heritage Month. But I just want to finish something from just before the break. You know, I launched that newspaper back in 1976 after I got out of the Vietnam War. I was in college. I used the GI Bill. And it was so hard to get anybody to advertise in the paper. First, the Americans didn't want to do it because anything Arab, as Warren accurately pointed out, was considered political and controversial. They didn't want to be involved. And then for the Arabs, the community just didn't understand the power of the media. So it was so hard to get advertising. And that was something that Warren was leading up to. To be successful, we have to have a successful media. You can't be successful as an ethnic community. Your health of an ethnic community is reflected by the health of your media. And Warren, yeah, I think you were making that point that to succeed, we had to have support from both sides, from our own community and also from the mainstream Americans. And that hasn't changed much. It's a little better, but even with all the new journalists, has it?
No, it hasn't changed. It hasn't really changed at all. And you find that most of the people that are supporting Arab American media are either Arab American owned companies, and there are some non-Arab entities that want to articulate a message to our community, you know, government related. It could be a government agency.
Well, recently the census is one that does reach out to us, and we get a little money, but nothing compared to what everybody else gets.
Well, definitely a very small share.
Yes.
And, of course, the census is a whole other issue as far as the way the census is being conducted and so forth. But yeah, it's really, it is really sad. I'll tell you a story. It's like one time I was, I remember this is a few years ago, and we were working on McDonald's. And, you know, we thought, wow, wouldn't that be great if we could get a company like McDonald's to support Arab, I think it was Arab America at that time. It was a few years ago, after Arab Detroit. And, you know, we had this inside contact. And, you know, we were talking to this woman. Her husband was like a big, like a vice president there. I know they're in Chicago, I think, their headquarters.
Yeah, they're based out in Oak Brook, not too far from here.
Right, exactly. So, like, we were, you know, she said, wow, this sounds great. I mean, you guys do all kinds of things on culture and understanding, diversity, and all of that, right?
Yeah.
So they said, look, we're going to, you know, I'm going to give it to him. And so a couple of weeks later, she gets back to me, and she said, you know, I said, what happened, you know? She said, well, she said, you know, they reviewed your website and everything, and they found that you were anti-Israel.
Yeah.
And anti-Israel. You know, in other words, and I think what they saw was maybe we had written some content about Palestinians.
In other words, being pro-Palestinian was often interpreted as being anti-Israel.
Yeah, it's almost like the anti-Semitic thing, right? But I mean,
oh yeah, then it grows into that. They, you know, it isn't just. And you know, what's ironic? Your website was a news site, just like any other newspaper. Probably had a little more detail about the Arab world in it. And more focused on the Arab world, which a lot of the media doesn't. And yet they'll advertise in other newspapers that have all kinds of controversies, but a lot of them, like you point out, they just don't want to do it because they're afraid. You know, there's this fear that somehow, you know, you say something nice about the Palestinians, you're criticizing Israel, and suddenly, you know, there's no middle ground. You're anti-Semitic, and it's like, wow, that's really sad.
Like you see McDonald's in the Latino press.
Oh yeah.
You see McDonald's you see it in other ethnic press, Chinese, you know, Asian and so forth. But and they have political issues,
yes,
you know, in their newspaper, you know, but you don't see it in the Arab American press because of that one issue.
It's partly our fault, though, don't you think? I mean, not you and me, but as a community. The community doesn't stand together because the Hispanic community, despite they have their diversity too, just like the African-American community and other, the Asian community, all these different ethnic groups, that your point is so accurate that they get support from mainstream companies like McDonald's and others. But the Arab community, maybe because we're smaller, we're still focused on back home. Not all of us have assimilated and become a real quote-unquote American mentally and physically, with the exception, I think, of the Lebanese. They're probably the most American of all the Arab ethnic groups that we have in this country. But we're still physically here, but a lot of us are mentally back home. And I think, you know, we don't focus on the right priorities here. You know, there are people back home, right, that can fight the fight. Do they need us to join in that fight? Don't we have another responsibility, don't we, to educate Americans? That's our fight, I thought.
That's our fight, and I think you said it, that you made a good point, is that we're really not together. And because we're such a diverse identity, because we have 22 different nationality groups, because we're ethnically, religiously, politically a very diverse community, you know, when you say Arab American or Arab, nobody has ever really brought us together. We've tried in different ways, you know, and don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, we have our religious institutions and you know, they bring Christians together and Muslims together in the mosque and so forth. And they've been very successful on that level, you know, as far as the religious identity. And then we have the political organizations, you know, such as ADC and AAI. And there are many Palestinian organizations, as an example, that have a political agenda. And they've been successful in their own way in speaking to civil rights issues and the election and so forth. And then you have like a lot of, you know, ethnic societies, you know, organizations that bring people together, like the Ramallah Federation or, you know, the Taibi Association, or there are Lebanese organizations, Egyptian and so forth, that are village or ethnic associations. And, you know, they've brought their groups together and they've been successful in their own ways in bringing, but nobody, and I've been doing this for a long time, has brought us all together under one common denominator.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's missing in our community. And that kind of leads me to, and I don't know if you want to go there. But
No, we can. We're going to take a break in a minute, but I know where you're going with it. But one of the big things that, and I'll tell the audience, is that, you know, Arab America has been ArabAmerica.com and Warren and Amal David have been instrumental in helping to bring the Arab American community together on the one issue that really can empower us, and that's our heritage and our culture. And April now, as of last year, is officially Arab American Heritage Month, in a large part thanks to you and activists in individual states, like what we did here in Illinois and Michigan, Washington, where you're at, all over. And I agree with you. I remember you told me one time that the way to really win, and without getting into the definition of win, but the way to really win was to come together on some level that brings all the Arabs together, right? And I think the Arab Heritage Month was one way to do that.
Exactly, and that's the reason why we started. I mean, Arab Americans have been celebrating their heritage in different states. I know you can speak for Illinois for many years.
You know, we were. It was in November, and you're right. Different states had different months, so there was an inconsistency. But I think you helped bring everybody together. I think you kind of, you know, there were a number of states doing April. And I think you kind of brought up the idea that we should all do it the same month rather than being scattered. I think there were like four different months that people were celebrating it. So it was unofficial nationally, but lately, because of what you've done, it's kind of, how many states do you think, how many activist groups in states celebrate Arab Heritage Month in April?
We have about 14 teams, active teams around the country that are working on National Arab American Heritage Month. But last year, we had proclamations from over 26.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. And this year, we're working on getting proclamations from 50 governors in 50 states. We're trying to get 50 governors to give us proclamations. So far, we have about 15 proclamations, I believe, coming in from governors around the country. And we're expecting more. Will we make 50? I don't know. That's a quite, you know, it's a goal. But we've been working very hard on that initiative as well. But you're right. Every year, this initiative has been getting bigger. And we have a, as I mentioned, we have a grassroots committee. We have a national committee, and you've been very involved with it as well.
Yes, absolutely. I support it 100%.
Right. It's a national committee of Arab Americans, advisory committee. And we have about 26 states. We have people in about 26 different states that come together to promote, to initiate and to promote this initiative. And of course, it's in April it's coming up this April.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about National Arab American Heritage Month. And again, it brings us together because the common denominator of all Arab Americans is heritage. We can come together. We can't come together sometimes on political issues, you know, or we have our ethnic divisions and we have, we have different spiritual values and so forth. But when it comes to heritage, we all have something in common. You know, we all have the same values. We have the same, basically the same food, the same language. We have the same culture. We have the same customs. And that's where our goal is to bring people together under the umbrella of National Arab American Heritage Month. And not just to bring Arab Americans together, Ray, but also to engage Americans, not Americans, and for them to learn and to be exposed and to get the narrative. It's another way of putting a narrative out.
And to stop, for them to stop being, apprehensive. You know, there's no reason why McDonald's shouldn't support, regardless of what you write, because you write such a diversity of great features and stories. There are going to be a couple controversial, but those few controversial shouldn't be the focus. And I think that this is one way to open the eyes of mainstream Americans through this Arab American Heritage Month to see that, you know, we're no different than anybody else. Our media is just like the new, you know, maybe not the same size, but we have the same stuff that the New York Times has, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune. Our stories are just like their stories. There's a difference of opinion. But it's not all opinion. It's news stories. And that's one thing that makes your media, and I think my media, different. The things that we do, we don't just do opinion. We also do news stories. We do feature stories. We do profiles. We look at culture. We don't just dominate. Politics doesn't dominate everything. Warren, we have to take one more break, but we're going to continue in the next segment to talk about Arab American Heritage Month. And then the last segment at the very end of the show, we have about 10 minutes then, I want to talk a little bit about the politics of the presidential elections with you and just get some of your observations on what you think is happening. I'm Ray Hanania. This is the Arab Street Radio and Podcast here at WNZK AM 690. It is Friday, March 13th. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. We're broadcasting from Detroit at WNZK AM 690 Radio in Michigan and a bunch of other stations. You got to go to the U.S. Arab Radio Network to get all that information. Plus, it's 24/7, so this show will rebroadcast many times during the day and during the week. But you'll be able to get a podcast of it if you subscribe to our podcast. Looking up the Arab Street Radio on iTunes or Spotify or one of the other many, whatever podcasting system you use, it's there. You can find it. We have a growing audience, too, and You know, so we're always interested in your feedback. You can always visit our website at hananiah.com, which is my main hub for all my writing, or thearabstreet.org, which is where we have all the past podcast shows. Online with me is Warrant David, a third-generation Arab-American of Lebanese and Syrian heritage, and a longtime activist who understands, like I do, the power of communications, the news media, and how it helps our community. It's not really about politics. It's about getting our stories out, and nobody does it better than Warren David at his website at ArabAmerica.com. You can go there, and I know he has a huge following because I follow him, and I read the stories. They're phenomenal. It isn't just about controversial politics. They talk about everything. You know, features, news, things that are happening. This past week, Eileen Zoghbi passed away. And, you know, she's not, and she did so much in the Arab American community. So I was able to write a story about her and some of her background and stuff like that. She's the wife of Jim Zoghbi at the Arab American Institute. And, you know, she's just a, you know, one of the foundations or bricks of the Arab American community activism. And without my website or Warren's, things like that would not even get the acknowledgement. You know, they'd note that she passed, but the Arab American stuff would be kind of pushed down. And that's where we come in to kind of bring that out, because we're very proud of being Arab American. Warren, this Arab American Heritage Month that ArabAmerica.com has helped to coordinate has brought all those states together. 26, you know, states in some way recognized it last year. And I love this campaign that you're talking about to get every governor of all 50 states to adopt the resolution. We'll try here in Illinois. We did get a law passed designating April as Arab American Heritage Month in Illinois, and it's probably a goal that every state should have. But getting the governor involved in each state, I think, is a great goal. That's phenomenal. You got to do a press release on that. You know, we got to generate press releases with a photo so we can then disseminate it. So, you know, you got to get me something, or maybe I'll write about it after this show. But tell us a little bit more about what's, you know, what you guys are planning and why it's so important to do that.
Well, yeah, we have a what we have developed. We actually developed a educator's curriculum kit about 2 years, 3 years ago, and this and it's been upgraded over every year. But it's a 105 page kit, digital. It's a digital kit that can be given to a teacher in a public school or any school to basically acquaint them with the history, immigration, you know, the Arab American community, you know, the diversity of religious groups in our community, the issues that confront Arab Americans, the contributions that Arab Americans have made to the American mosaic, and it's just a really good informational kit. Last year, we distributed it to, like, I believe, like several hundred schools around the country at the time, and some school districts, some of the major school districts where there are Arab American populations. And so this year, we're disseminating that as well, and we our committee is distributing that to local schools in the areas where they live. And then we've also added a new element this year. We have a presentation. It's a, kind of like a little, like a PowerPoint presentation of where you can go into a school or into a community organization or to a library and make a 15 to 20 minute presentation about Arab Americans, and then do some Q&A. And we already have, I believe, like the latest I've heard is like five libraries around the country. People have set up meetings, an evening, where they're going to go to the library, speak with them, with a group of people. The library will promote the presentation. So, I mean, you know, it's little by little, you know, we're building through our grassroots network. And of course, there are other events that are happening all around the country. whether it's a school district or there are organizations that are hosting events and so forth. Of course, we have the coronavirus out there, which isn't making things easier.
Right.
But we're hoping April it's going to be a little bit better than what it is now. But we're moving forward. In any event, we're moving forward with National Arab American Heritage Month, and we're looking for a very positive result through our work this year.
And we're also doing an event. Go ahead, Warren. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're also going to be doing an event in Washington, D.C. There are many events, but our event is scheduled for April 21st.
To bring everybody together, right? From around the country.
Kind of like it's like a way for people to come from, and some people come in from around the country. But last year we had over 300 people, and we had like eight congressional representatives come. We had the mayor of Washington, D.C. We had the Arab League ambassador. We had, it was a great, you know, presidents of many of the NGOs and nonprofits, and some people from government and so forth. And this year we're doing it across, right, directly across from the U.S. Capitol. We have a venue that overlooks the U.S. Capitol and the Supreme Court. And to date, it's really amazing, you know, because we've got 15 congressmen that have confirmed their attendance to come to the
event.
That's
phenomenal.
Phenomenal. One U.S. senator, and we have still four other congresspeople that are, you know, looking at their schedules. So, I mean, there's like at least 18, 19 congressional representatives that are, you know, it seems they're going to stop by to give their comment, you know, to say something about Arab heritage and National Arab American Heritage Month. So we're very excited.
And that's phenomenal. I mean, that is exactly what needs to be done, and it's a step-by-step process. You know, we call them little steps, but it's a big deal. But these are little steps that build on each, you know, on top of each other, and it just moves us forward. That's the only way to really be successful, I think. You know, we can argue the, you know, the cause of Palestine or Lebanon, and I think justifiably, you know, make some great arguments, but that's not what forges ahead for us. You know, it's things like this, bringing in Americans. As you point out, it isn't just for Arabs to celebrate Arab Heritage Month. We got to get everybody else, you know, involved in to do that. And listen, I know I want to brag a little bit more about Illinois. We worked so hard here. We had November, and then it was changed. We wanted to coordinate with everybody else in April. We were able to get the legislature to adopt a law making it Arab American Heritage Month. Has that been replicated yet? Have other states adopted laws, you know, institutionalizing April as Arab Heritage Month, or is that still part of one of the goals that, you know, we're working towards?
We're not there yet, unfortunately. I think Illinois is, and I know that's through your efforts. You were very instrumental in spearheading that, Ray, and I'm very proud of you. I know that it was a group effort, but I know that you were instrumental making that happen.
Having a being a journalist with a column in Illinois put it on the horizon clear, and it was like, you better treat us like everybody else. So they didn't have a choice, right. And that's where the power of the media comes in. Being an Arab media person, it still gives us leverage, even though we're victims, you know, in this country. But we don't have that in every state, do we? That's not, it's just not there.
Oh, unfortunately, and, you know, as I mentioned, we're applying, we're getting these proclamations from the 50 states. We have one state that sent us a rejection. Or just, we don't, you know, we're trying to find out why.
How would you say it? Yeah, it's like, wow, a state said they don't want to recognize Arab, you know, Heritage Month in April. Which state is that?
Maybe you were too late or something. No, we applied in January.
Yeah.
So like everything was done correctly. It's just like, we just said, well, sorry, we can't do this. We're rejecting it.
They're just, is that?
I found it very.
Can you say the name of the state, right? Sorry? We could say that, right?
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. I mean, it's the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
And, but we're working on
trying. Oh my gosh, that state is a little wacky.
We hope it's an administrative error. We're not sure, but we're trying to find out what the situation is. But You know, like we got the state of Hawaii recently.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there aren't as many Arab Americans in Hawaii as there are in Arizona.
Right.
I mean, Arizona has over 70,000 Arab Americans. In Hawaii,
yep,
there's like less than a couple of thousand, maybe.
Yeah, I get, like my daughter lives there with her family, and grandkids are in Hawaii. So I'm going to get them to send a letter to the governor.
Governor.
Just, yeah, let them know that we support it. It helps. It helps they have constituents. Go ahead. Sorry.
The governor in Hawaii is so excited that he's inviting, we should have your daughter there. He's inviting a group of Arab Americans to come, and he wants to give the proclamation personally to them.
That's phenomenal.
And that's going to be in April. There's a date in April. I think it's April 8th
yeah,
or 10th.
Let me know. Let me know, and I'll let her know so that she can be part of it.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal. That's
great.
Yeah. So that means there'll be two Hananias that'll shock the system. One in Illinois and one... That's too much for some people, I think, Warren. It doesn't make friends to be... Go ahead, sorry.
I'm going to tell you, can you hear me? The power...
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, the power of this Arab Heritage Month. Last year, we got the Georgia State Legislature, the Senate and the House, to both give proclamations commemorating National Arab American Heritage Month. And the people in Georgia that got the proclamations were shocked because they said they've never seen anything like it.
That's amazing.
That, you know, yeah, they've organized on a political level in the past, and they haven't been very successful. But with National Arab American Heritage Month, they were able to get proclamations from both chambers of the Georgia. That was really amazing. So we are making headway, Ray. We are making progress.
I have to, after the show, I got to do a story on it, and you do too. We got to get the word out because this is a big deal. This is how you win. I try to explain to Palestinians and others, you know, this is how you win justice in Palestine. By helping Americans understand the basics about who we really are. If we can do that, we're going to be very successful. It's about 8:50 in the morning in Detroit, 7:50 in Chicago. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, maybe I can get Warren in to talk a little bit about some of the politics that we're seeing. I mean, I feel terrible about the Democratic Party has ganged up against Bernie Sanders, I think, because he was very outspoken on the Middle East and Arabs and the Palestinian issue. And it's just kind of sad that I think that's one of the reasons why they decided they got to take him out. And they're doing a job on him, especially after what we saw in Michigan. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with my guest, Warren David of ArabAmerica.com. I'm Ray Hanania here at the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. We're going to be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania, the special U.S. correspondent for the Arab News newspaper. I also write for a group of eight newspapers here in the Chicagoland area, the Southwest News newspaper group, Des Plaines Valley News, the regional newspaper, the Reporter newspaper, Southwest News Herald, a bunch of them, and I love writing, and you can read all my writing by visiting Hanania.com, which has the links to the different Middle East columns and the mainstream American columns, and you'll get this, you'll be able to get this radio podcast and other podcasts that I do by visiting thearabstreet.org. Of course, that's all linked to Hanania.com. On the line is another, I like to think of him as my professional brother, Warren David, because he's so much like me. Focus, we think and speak in English, but we're very proud of being Arab, and we're in the media. We understand the power of the media. Warren, last thing on the Arab Heritage Month, where do they go to get, is there information about these curriculum and information and training? Is that at ArabAmerica.com? Is there a special tab or something they can go to get all the details?
There will be a special resource landing page.
Good.
Where all that information will be available. It's not up as of yet because we're still finalizing all the sponsors and so forth and that type of thing. But yes, there will be a place when they go to ArabAmerica.com, they'll be able to access it very easily.
All right, that sounds good, and I want to help you promote it. And, you know, when I was telling you, an hour sounds like a long time, but I'm telling you, it's not. I did 5 hours on Saturday and Sunday on WLS Radio, and people would say, how do you fill up 10 hours? And I go, you'd be shocked and surprised how fast 5 hours can go. 1 hour zips by. We only have a couple minutes. What do you make? Let me get some thoughts from you about this primary election, Bernie Sanders. We're feeling the burn in the wrong way, aren't we?
You know, it's amazing. It's I think that you know, I've seen so many presidential elections over the years, and Bernie Sanders is really the one candidate that has really spoken. And it's kind of interesting that he happens to be of Jewish background.
Yep.
Which really says something about the Arab American community. Because we're not anti-Semitic in any way, but Bernie Sanders does speak to the Arab American community, and I think he's the first presidential candidate that has really courted the Arab American community. I mean, in Michigan there were rallies that he spoke at, Arab American rallies. I just can't say how unprecedented this has been, and when you look at the primary results in Michigan, the major areas where there are Arab Americans, like in Dearborn, he carried like I think 60% of Dearborn, Dearborn Heights. You know, he carried I believe the statistics like 60%, and Hamtramck. You know, places where there are Arab Americans, he was overwhelming. And it's just really, again, it's almost like we can almost mirror it to the media.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost the challenges that we've found being in the Arab American media. I think Bernie Sanders is becoming a casualty of that mentality.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad. I voted for him the last time. I voted for him this time. I voted early. Our primary is next Tuesday. But it's so upsetting to see what's happening, you know, to him. And I think it's because of his outspokenness on the Middle East and because he's catering to us. And it just Bernie is pushing the goal line, you know, the line to the goal further. We're getting closer and closer to the goal thanks to him and stuff that you're doing, too. We're out of time, unfortunately, and I really wish we could continue this again. We should do this more often, Warren, because I really do. You understand the essence of radio and how to communicate with people. Too often when I interview people, they're angry, they're emotional, they get upset. They just, you know, they got to understand that you need to be able to present a message and a thought in a very effective way, not volume. Or not emotion, but in a very strategic manner. At least you got a few seconds. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to plug? ArabAmerica.com, obviously, but anything else that you want to remind people to do before I let you go?
Just we hope that everybody stays healthy and in the environment that we're in right now. And we are really looking forward to National Arab American Heritage Month. And if there's if you are interested in becoming part of our committee or one of our teams in different states that we have, if you're interested in making a presentation at a local library or knowing how you can become part of our initiative, please contact us. And what I can do is I can give you an email, info@arabamerica.com. Info@arabamerica.com. We'll have somebody get back to you if you'd like to become part of our initiative.
All right. Warren David, my guest. I'm Ray Hanania. Remember, you get this podcast at thearabstreet.org. We're out of time, unfortunately, but remember, go to arabamerica.com to get that information. We'll have a story up at Hanania.com pretty soon. Thank you, everybody. Warren, thank you so much. Say hi to Amal. Thank you, Mike, at the studio, and we will talk to everybody again later. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. We've had a discussion of all the issues facing Arabs in America and the Middle East, from Israel to Palestine, Syria, and more.
Visit www.hananiah.com to get more information on all of my podcasts and on my award-winning opinion columns.